Craig Back, interesting night in Redcliffe across your team. Lots of chaos, lots of carnage, and probably, if I know you guys at CDO Yamaha well, a lot of fun work done in between the opening rounds and here at Cronulla.
Yeah, it was a fun night. I guess like our riders alluded to, with Supercross is important to get off to a good start in the heat. It sort of sets you up for the night in many ways, psychologically, and how you pick the next pick of the gates and all that. So unfortunately all our riders had really bad heat races for one reason or another, mainly due to their mistakes. So that just set the night off on the back foot. But put that behind, we'll move ahead. Like I said to my riders though, before that first round, being that the first round of the year was actually a two-nighter, so it was almost half the series. There was only five rounds in those first two rounds, so to get off with a bad start is going to make it really hard to come back. But anything can happen, as we all know. We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Brad, Pedro Racing Empire Kawasaki, you've seen a boosted roster for your team with Cole Thompson coming in SX2, and obviously Cloudy, big performance at Redcliffe, but kind of overshadowed by the results. How's the transition from the opening rounds to Redcliffe been, and where is the team at?
Well, obviously Tyson thought I had too much time on my hands because I had a look around on Monday and there's all of a sudden there's five bikes I'm doing. So Moss, I don't know where he is, but to answer your question, Cole was sort of on our radar at the start of the season. One thing led to another, and we obviously with funds and stuff we couldn't quite get there for the start of the season, which would have been great. And then after Saturday night's results with our MX2 ride, we realised that we had to do something. He was still there, so that was organised on Sunday and pretty much he's here riding good, so he's got a few little things he wants to prove out here in Oz, which is good. Cloudy's ride, it was up and down. Disappointing. He should be up the pointy end with the points, but he's not at the minute, but we'll just keep plugging on and see where we get to.
I'm going to throw this one down to the floor, JB. We'll start with you.
A couple of questions. First one for you, Reed. Obviously with what Dina was going through, you're probably one of the first ones to find out. How do you kind of lead at that point? Dino still has to race. He just lost his mother. It's an emotional day. And then talk about on the back end of that just how impressive he was in winning, kind of sweeping the whole weekend.
There's definitely no book on what to do. It's not something that I'm familiar with, not at his level. He led the way. He's the consummate professional. He got up in the morning and spoke to me. And I let him take control. He needed to be able to take control. And to be brutally honest, if he told me he couldn't ride, then he wouldn't have ridden. That's just the reality of what he was facing. And he stood up and was probably one of the most courageous rides I've ever seen. To be able to control that emotion, knowing that he's not home, he's not there with his dad, and then excel the way he did. I mean, that's why he's an American champion. So, he's fortunate to have such a champion now amongst us, and he was the true leader. I was just there for support.
And then, as far as Cedric, you know, not really knowing what to expect out of him, you had to be really impressed leaving Redcliffe.
Everyone that knows me knows I look at data, and I don't think people realise that he's a six-time French champion. He's been in the top 10 in the US in certain rounds. He's very capable. I didn't know how quickly he would adapt to the Honda. Like, I threw him in at the deep end. I was working with another rider who got injured weeks out from round one, and I'm grateful for Cedric's commitment. He had other opportunities, and he took this opportunity on, and he's been an absolute delight to deal with. He knows what he wants, which is why he's been such a champion in the past, and I don't believe we've seen how fast he can go. The improvements the last 2 weeks, his focused effort on making the bike more suitable to him. It's been a great experience for us. We're learning from him. He's obviously a veteran in the sport, and I think we'll see stronger performances in these last three rounds from him.
Awesome. Kyle, one for you. You had to be pretty impressed with Walshano for me coming in. Didn't really know what to expect. He's switching bikes like he had mentioned earlier, but he was up the front quite a bit, a couple of mistakes, but you had to be impressed.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think he was certainly somebody that, again, even from our side, you know, we've seen what he's done in the past and where he's raced around the world, but you never really know. And, you know, you can look at all the laps logged during practice and stuff like that, and you get quite excited. And but then come race day, it can all fall apart. But he really stepped up and, you know, he put himself in good positions all night, all weekend, to be honest. Yeah, starts were electric, and I think we'll probably see another step from him this week. Really cool to see.
Same with you, Carl. I guess the other part to that too is, hey, Melrose's ride at, you know, especially the second round, you know, privateer, KTM back rider, do you guys look at more support? I don't know what the support level is, but did you have conversations with Carl, with Hayden, and about sort of that weekend and what he represented for the brand?
To be honest, the conversation post-event was really about how cool the experience would have been for him. I know when he came back from the injury that he got in the US, and then once he came back to race here, got hurt again, and then had a baby, and, you know, as fathers, we know how lives change when you have a child. So his then goal was, how cool would it be if I could stand up on the podium with my son? And so the thing, brands aside and motorcycle racing aside, what he was able to do personally that night was really, really cool. I think that was kind of the primary. You know, second to that, obviously, riding fantastic and putting that sort of result in as a privateer and working through the week and that sort of thing. You can't deny that the guy's talented. So it's cool to see him up there. It's cool to see a KTM up there. Again, look forward to seeing him again this weekend.
Brad, for you, sort of touched on it before, and I guess if you give us an official word, but Matt Moss with the team, who's announced for round one, didn't show up, and then we obviously know he's not here this weekend. What's the official team word on Matt Moss?
Well, he's overseas. That was always planned. He was always going to miss round three, round one and two. He basically said he wasn't ready. So, who knows with that. But he is overseas. He can carry on.
Kyle, I'm going to roll this one over to you. A lot of injuries that we saw coming out of round one and two and even the weeks after. Do we have an updated status on Noah as far as where he's at, Ferguson?
Yeah, so he's not going to be racing this weekend. He has hurt his forearm, basically. He actually did that on night one in Redcliffe and sort of pushed through for night two and sort of did his best. I think we didn't necessarily see the best of Noah last weekend. And obviously, to have him hurt and to have him miss this weekend is a real shame for him and also for the team. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of injuries, and I think we always see that at the opening rounds, right? Like, everybody kind of gets very excited, and you know, we have become accustomed, unfortunately, just knowing that there's going to be injuries at the opening rounds, and it's all part of it. I think it's a shame, but you know, I think we can also see, you know, somebody like Byron, for example, who was very, very fortunate not to get hurt in his crash that, you know, we've all probably seen 10 times over the last 2 weeks. So. It's a factor, and yeah, unfortunately we're just getting used to that's what it is.
Absolutely. Yariv, I'm going to bring this one up for you. Obviously we saw Shane running the number one plate out at Redcliffe as the defending SX2 champion, not here this weekend and running a bit more of a select schedule this season. Talk about that as team owner. You know, you have operations here in Australia and internationally. A unique footprint for you, and honestly I don't think the industry talks enough about you being one of the only, I think, team owners that is able to pull that off as far as that network that you now have, leveraging that across, you know, different championships. But how has that played out for you so far with Shane and bringing different riders into different events?
It's a hectic schedule globally now. It's great for riders. In America, they've got 31 races throughout a season. At MX Nations, for some riders, it's 32. And then you add some international races for them, and you can blow it up to 40 races quite quickly. So we were mindful of what we were doing with Shane and Joey, and we picked selected events for them to compete in their off-season.
and we always planned on Shane doing rounds 1 and 2. I'm happy to announce that he'll be at AusX Open as well. There's an event that coincides with our final round in Adelaide, and Shane's committed to another championship. But yeah, we were well aware before the weekend started, and I had faith in my domestic riders in the 250 class. We made some mistakes. Lux Turner rode a brilliant two rounds, very capable young rider, very exciting to see what he'll do in the future, and we'll try very hard in that 250 class, and there is some real competition. And now with Empire bringing out Cole Thompson, we know how capable he is. So I think tomorrow the 250 class is going to be super exciting.
I want to stay with you, Reed, with that. More talking about your SX2 riders and Alex Larwood stepping up like he did over the two nights, you know, being the domestic rider, and a bit of chatter before the event, you know, you have your American stable to come over, and for a kid like him who you've worked with for the last couple of years to step up on that occasion and kind of put himself as the leader, I guess, of that SX2 side. What was your conversation with him and your sort of opinion of what he did at those first two rounds?
Alex's talent is underrated. We saw him win races last year. He makes some mistakes, but he's clearly a capable rider. We saw him win a race this year in motocross. Unfortunately, he made some mistakes across the two nights. I mean, he won races, but he made some mistakes, and he's in a situation that he's not comfortable with. It's foreign to him to be out in front. He's going to have to learn to get comfortable with that. But, you know, an exceptional talent racing against guys like Lux Turner, who are capable of running inside the top 10 in America, or who do run inside the top 10. Wilson Todd, who's run inside the top 10 in the US. So Alex did a great job. He's just going to have to learn. I mean, I've seen it on social media a little bit lately. I think it's something either Chad Reed or Tim Ferry said about, you know, you have to learn to win. And that's just going to come with more seat time and more races. But yeah, I was really happy for him. He's a really good kid, really talented young man, and he just needs to get comfortable with how good he is, and that comes with doing it repeatedly.
Final one for me, Carl London. I want to ask you about your second SX1 rider, Nathan Crawford. Any word on whether we see Nathan back for the championship or when we see him back?
Yeah, definitely. Look, we were sort of optimistic that maybe we'd see him this weekend, but to be honest, it's still just a matter of time. We have got a solid plan in place with him now. He's at Logs on Laps on Wednesday, I think it was. And he's, by all accounts, he's feeling quite good. So we've got a solid plan with him now to come back in Melbourne. That's the target, and I think that's what we're
doing. Craig Dack, this one's for you. I'm curious about Aaron Tanney. You've won championships with Tanney before. Everybody knows his calibre and what he's capable of. We've seen injury-riddled years, different teams and struggles, really, since departing that championship year from you the year after. You know what he's about. You've got the best out of it before. How do you bridge that gap between what we're seeing now and bringing him back to being a front runner in SX1?
Well, first of all, he has to stay on the bike. He's been quite accident prone over the last couple of years. Had a lot of injuries. You know, it was only 6 months ago, 8 months ago, he broke his neck, we all remember, which is very nasty, obviously. So he's happy that he's sort of back on track and able to get back on the bike and just start to rebuild, I guess, his career. The last couple of years have been quite messy for him. As you said, he did win a championship for us in 22, I think it was, motocross. But since then, his career's been a little bit all over the place. So, as he said, we've just signed him for another 2 years, so 26-27. So hopefully that gives him some stability, so he can just not worry about where the next contract's coming from for the next couple of years and just get on with his career. But yeah, he's a capable guy. We all know he's got the speed, but it's just his consistency and the amount of times he crashes, we just need to get on top of. We're not putting any pressure on him at the moment. We just want to see him get some races done. So hopefully those crashes can start to slow down a little bit.
Committing to a two-year contract extension, we're sort of seeing the landscape, I feel, change in the pits with the elite level teams that you guys represent. We're not used to seeing two-year deals in Australia. It seems like things are progressing where you're as team owners and team managers are securing more investments in the long-term stability of your teams and having, I want to say, franchise riders, but as such, you're building more around, you know, you have Jed for a long time now, you have Kyle, and obviously Nathan, Luke's been a long-standing Kawasaki now as well. Is that something that you feel has evolved in the last few years in the pits? I don't know who wants to answer that, but...
I think we all appreciate not only the talent that's there, but the importance of the value of their brand, respectively. Like, we're putting a lot of money into getting results on track. We're equally putting as much money now into getting results off track. So the continuity, the frequency of it, it's really important. So if our riders are producing credible results, then I think we're going to try and retain them for as long as we can, because brand association and the value of that is quite high.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if there's no more media questions, I think we'll wrap this one up. Thank you to the team owners here for the press conference of round number 3, the Boost Mobile AusX Championship. Thank you, everyone, once again. And with that, we will see you guys out there tomorrow.